1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Biden has signed a $95 billion foreign aid package with more than $60 billion for Ukraine. BBC reporter James Waterhouse is in Kyiv.
His generals are hoping these much-needed artillery shells, missiles, and air defense systems will simply help them stop Russian momentum in the east.
Breaking news out of Arizona, where the state house has approved the repeal of its near-total abortion ban. The measure now heading to the state Senate. It comes as the Supreme Court hears an abortion case on access from Idaho. CBS's Jan Crawford.
The court is very deeply divided on this, and I don't think after the arguments, which lasted a good 2 hours, we have a clear sense of what the court is going to do.
And school lunches will have new nutrition standards. CBS's Willie James Inman.
Less sugar and sodium and more healthy options is the goal with new standards rolled out by the Department of Agriculture today for school meals across the country.
It's an effort to combat childhood obesity. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin schools are turning to restraints and seclusion for discipline less often. The Department of Public Instruction says cases were down about 8% last school year. Tim Pirenboom is a DPI psychologist.
It's only supposed to be used as a last resort when the student's behavior presents a clear, present, imminent risk to physical safety.
The report says most schools reported zero cases last school year. High school athletes in Wisconsin will not get name, image, and likeness opportunities this year. A proposed amendment to the WIAA Constitution failed at a meeting of the governing body Wednesday. Executive Director Stephanie Hauser predicts the discussion is just starting. 31 states allow NIL deals for high schoolers, including Minnesota and Illinois. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. You have the opportunity to hear from the three candidates today challenging Derek Van Orden in the 3rd Congressional District. There's a community forum taking place at the UW-Stevens Point Theater from 6:30 to 8 tonight. The three candidates are Rebecca Cook, Katrina Shankland, and Eric Wilson. During the forum, you'll hear from each candidate on why they're running and what they plan to do if elected. You can attend in person or listen live on our airways. The forum will air on WFHR and our other stations in the 3rd Congressional District. You can also listen on our Civic Media app or watch the video stream on our Facebook page or the Civic Media Vote page at civicmedia.us/vote. A public meeting is scheduled 1 week from today about the construction project planned at the Highway 7380 and County 8 intersection in Pittsville. It's on May 1st at 5 p.m. at the Pittsville Community Hall. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Bucks lose to the Pacers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Pacers beat the Bucks 125-108. The series now tied one game apiece. On Sunday, the Bucks dominated Indiana. What was the difference? Doc Rivers.
They said we couldn't play defense. We did that in the first game. They said they couldn't play defense. They did that in the second game. I thought it was more our offense versus their defense than the other way. And I thought that bled over to the defense. So I thought it was more our offense tonight.
Pacers guard Tyrese Halliburton is a native of Oshkosh, but says his family was mistreated in Milwaukee.
You know, this has been my little brother in the stands the other day was, called the N-word. And so, like, it was important for us as a family, like, to just address that. And that was important for us to talk about because that just didn't sit right with anybody in our, in our family.
That's the Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
a super sunny day with highs in the 50s. It may be a touch cooler out there, but those winds are calm. With a high pressure system overhead, we stay bright and beautiful tomorrow too, with highs climbing to the 60s. Soak it up because we have a wet weekend ahead. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 51 degrees.
What does cheese, beer, and you have to do with local radio?
I know. It's Todd Alba and the Trick V. Olsen's What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour.
To get out of your own little silo and just listen to folks, you find out Wisconsin is pretty darn great already.
It's great to be from Wisconsin, Todd. It's just such a fantastic place.
Miss them in your town, more visits, and your chance to connect coming up.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. Matt Nair on air.
We Energies said the raccoon came into contact with some equipment in a substation. I just have this vision of this raccoon being egged on by his buddy raccoon going, touch them both. See what happens. Do that. Then touch that one.
They're not cute. They're not cuddly. They are disease-ridden, opposable thumb-having little trash pandas.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreidlow.
Thursday on Up North News Radio, our weekly Women Win Wisconsin profile from Motherhood for Good, and our weekly visit with political strategist Joe Zepecki.
Up North News with Pat Kreidlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Peach Waba.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mayloff, here. In part two today, we're going to speak with our good friends from the ODC. We have Ann and Chris joining us. Looking forward to that. Right now, we have in studio with us our friend Chad Schooley, director of Wood County Parks and Forestry from the Wood County Parks and Forestry Department. That works out for you, Chad, that you have the job title. I didn't need to put that in there. We appreciate you being here, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good to have you with us, Chad. We send a big thank you to you and your team over there and all the work you guys do in our parks and in our area and covering so many of these subjects, and looking forward to diving into some of this with you today. Let's kick things off with what means spring and summer to a lot of us, our parks opening.
Yes, absolutely. So May 1st is the big day every year. That's when we officially open a lot of our gates. Our campgrounds are open. Shelters are available for rental, things like that. So just around the corner next Wednesday is when our campground gates are open and we start seeing all the trailers come in. So
what do you and your team have to do to prepare for that, Chad?
Oh man, our maintenance staff, they're busy year round, but just getting things neat, clean, tidy. Most of our buildings are just seasonal, right? So that means getting them plumbed for the season, water tests. Think about your yard, you know, in the springtime, what type of spring cleanup you have, and then multiply that by a lot.
Yeah.
As far as just the acreage that needs to be cleaned up. So it's a lot of work, but they do a great job.
How big is your team? It doesn't have to be an exact number, but around a ballpark idea.
Yeah, so we have approximately 15 full-time employees, and then right around May, end of May, we start bringing on some seasonal workers. And so at the maximum, we have about an additional 10 seasonal in the summer months.
It's a lot of parks. There's a lot of land to cover with a small group. And I just appreciate the work that's done by those people to be able to make that happen so that we can enjoy our parks and everything. Yeah. It's a note that we don't always get a chance to reference. Are there other things that you tried to do in the early part of the season, when these camps are first opening, when these parks are first opening?
Yeah, so just like anything, you know, we're not at 100% May 1st. We get everything, like I said, facilities open, campsites usable, things like that. But over the next month, we're still cleaning up, you know, limbs and mulching. We had a really heavy pine cone drop this year. So just, you don't think about that all the time, but just clean up of that material so you're not continuously throwing those around with your lawnmowers, things like that. Yeah. So early season really is just continuing to get things cleaned up and looking nice. So.
With a winter like we just had, was it easier, or were there different difficulties that you guys normally haven't had before because of it?
It was different. So Powers Bluff, which is usually a big big event location for our winter months. We're only open one weekend this year because of the lack of snow. So that did give our maintenance staff opportunity to do a lot of other things. Primarily, unfortunately, we have the emerald ash borer in our parks now. So they spent a lot of time just taking down dead ash trees, either dead or kind of being a little bit more forward thinking and taking down some trees that are going to be dead within the next year or two. It's a terrible tree disease, and you don't like taking those trees down, but you can't treat every one of them, right? Yeah. So just for safety purposes, that was a lot of time spent this last off season was, and they're always doing that, you know, hazard trees, dead trees within our parks, but it was increased this year because of that disease.
How is it going on that front, us against this this insect?
We're losing.
yeah.
You really can't win against it. No. All you can do is really try to stay ahead of it as much as you can to decrease the safety concerns that you might have, right? Yeah. So there's a lot of area that is not developed within our parks that we may just, you know, have nature take its course. The tree's going to die. Eventually it's going to fall over, all that good stuff. But fortunately, we don't have trails. We don't have buildings. We don't have infrastructure that we're, you know, real concerned about safety. But obviously in those areas that people are at, along trails, in our campgrounds, anything near buildings, we don't want, you know, structural damage. Those are the ones that we're addressing.
So we've covered it here on our shows a lot, and tried to bring some attention to it, especially up north with the winter we had and the lack of opportunities to make money, basically, to be as blunt as I can about it. And our empathy for so many of our northerners because of that. Our parks throughout the whole state really felt this too. Correct. And that's something I think that is noteworthy as well. To our listeners out there especially, you know, this is all the more reason to really take in this spring, summer time and take in these parks and make use of Powers Bluff and some of these other areas.
Right. Yeah. You got to take advantage while you can.
And we got the locations for you, everybody. Boy, there's a park near you. I don't know who's listening or where you're listening from, but there is a park near you. There are some great locations around here. Let's get into that a little bit, Chad.
All right. Yeah. Thank you. I'd like to kind of touch base on all of our locations and kind of promote some of the offerings that we have. So we'll start out with a couple just day use areas. So NEPCO Lake County Park, basically just outside of Wisconsin Rapids. It's technically in the village of Port Edwards. Yeah. But that park is very popular year-round, right? So we've got basically multi-use trails. So winter months, cross-country skiing, snowshoeing, but summer months it's very popular just for people hiking out there. So a lot of people from town, out of town, they'll come and use that. We also actually have about 5 miles of single track trail. So for bikers, they can utilize it year round again, and it's also used for snowshoeing. But the biggest draw, I'm sure a lot of your listeners have either rented the shelter or have been to an event that was in the shelter, but that's our currently that's our only year-round shelter that we've got. Beautiful location, beautiful setting, things like that. So very popular. And then summer activities, we've got the boat landing. So a lot of people utilize NEPCO Lake for different purposes, fishing or recreation or things like that. We also have a beach area. All of our beaches, they open Memorial Weekend. So we have a little bit of time yet before those are officially open. But yeah, so that's NEPCO Lake. Again, very popular for day users.
I'd like to read from one of our listeners. I'd like to read a comment about that shelter area. It's a beautiful shelter. I highly recommend it to everybody. Perfect place to get married, from Jillian Maloff, my little sister. My little sister got married over there. Beautiful spot. We had such a good time over there. Really do encourage people to take advantage of these things that we have around here and make use of them. And something like that too. Such a versatile spot. You can do so many things with that area. It's
right.
Nice. guys.
Right. Yeah.
These parks, there's one near you. Be sure to take them in, enjoy them, and find out more. We're speaking with our good friend Chad Schooley from the Wisconsin Wood County Parks and Forestry Department. And Chad, I wanted to talk about the ribbon cutting you have coming up.
Sure. Awesome. That leads very well into the next park I wanted to highlight, and that's Powers Bluff. Mm. So another day use area. We don't have camping there. But a lot of different things year-round that people can come out and enjoy. So winter months, that's obviously, you know, historically, that's kind of what people know Powers Bluff for recreation. But over the last few years, we've been putting in multiple miles of trail that are designed really for year-round use. Mm. So 5.5 miles of off-road kind of mountain bike trail. And again, year-round, as far as we do have a lot of that groomed in the winter months when we have snow for fat tire biking. But this time of year, specifically summer months, again, get out and enjoy that. We have multiple different skill level trail segments. Mm-hmm. So from beginner all the way up to advanced. Very excited about that. In addition to those 5.5 miles, we also have 3 miles of gravel trail. It's a multi-use. Winter months groomed for cross-country skiing and biking as well. But in the summer months, beautiful hiking trail for, you know, if you want to go out and look at birds, identify different species of plants, which this location is well known for, you know, you name it. Come out and enjoy that. So in celebration of those trails, we are doing a ribbon cutting, and that's going to be held on May 31st at 1 p.m. We will get more information out over the next month, kind of advertising that. But we really want the community to come out and hopefully get out and hike and or bike some of those trails and get to know it. So
make sure when you get the details of that, let us know. We can promote it here at the station and everything. Yeah. One of the things that we want to do as a community certainly is be looking out for each other. And one of the things that we appreciate in this state especially is these beautiful parks we have and all these opportunities we have to get out there to experience nature, to enjoy it. We know how hard the winter months were. Let's really make use of these summer months and spring and summer months and show our parks, show the people that work at our parks how much we appreciate them and how much we love having these parks by using them. Right. And that ribbon cutting is going to be a fun event. Looking forward to that. Yeah. And all summer long, we've got such great opportunities for people. We've only really scratched the surface, Chad. There is certainly, as you mentioned, boat landings and plenty to do there. There's disc golfing. That there are things available for that. There is camping, of course, as well. Most of these things involve a pass or reaching out to the to find out more about it. So what are some details that people should know as far as these passes go when you're getting something for disc golf or boat launching parking pass or any of these kind of things that you might need?
Sure. So it really is a combination of, you know, there are fee areas and there's free areas. So basically summer months, if you're out hiking on any of our multi-use trails, there's no fee to that. So get out, get some exercise, enjoy nature. But there are some more intensively used trails and intensively maintained trails. One of those being the new single track bike trail at Powers Bluff. So year round, there is a fee associated with that. Similar, and it's basically the same pass. So if you were to purchase an annual pass, that would also be good for cross-country skiing and snowshoeing in the winter months. So it's kind of a year-round thing. So in the summer months, that's basically trail-wise, that's the only fee that we've got. Winter months, when we do have groomed trails, those also have associated fees for cross-country skiing, fat tire biking, and snowshoeing on groomed trails. So that kind of takes care of the trail portion. Mm-hmm. Obviously camping. So if you go into one of our three basically larger park locations, Southwood County Park, Northwood County Park, Dexter, those all have campgrounds, and obviously there is a per night fee for that. Mm-hmm. A few years ago, we went away from any on-site self-registration. So that meant, you know, filling out a form, putting a check or cash in that and dropping it in the drop box. We no longer allow that. Everything is basically through our online reservation service now. What's nice about that is you can, same day, you know, you can still do the same thing, go out, find a site that you like, go onto that reservation system, and that will verify, you know, what sites are open, and you can essentially make that reservation right from your smartphone. In addition, if you don't have a smartphone, if you don't want to use that, you can come into our office during open hours, or you can contact the ranger out on site and they can assist you. We've got a tablet out there and they can kind of walk you through that process. So there's a fee for camping. In addition, so we have multiple shelter buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And those, some of those, the open shelters are on a first come, first serve,
mm-hmm.
or they can be reserved, right? So
right.
if you have an event that you want to make sure you have, you know, the grill, the picnic tables, all that good stuff, again, you can either call our office, we can do that over the phone, or you can go right on that same reservation site and make it. Both camping and shelters can be reserved up to 12 months in advance.
Hmm.
So believe it or not, most of our, if not all of our Saturdays in several of our parks, they're already taken for the season.
I believe
right?
it, yeah.
So Memorial through Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
Very popular. And typically those are reserved right on the dot, 12 months in advance, a lot of them right at midnight.
Yeah, right, right.
So midnight, 12 months in advance, you can go on and hopefully get your shelter reservation at that time. So
it really speaks to how popular these are yeah. and how much they're not only how versatile they are and how much they're being used, but how much fun people have with them. So much of this comes from word of mouth. And hey, I enjoyed this. Or like my sister mentioned, you know, when I told her I was going to be on the air with you and stuff. And she said, oh, make sure to mention this. And
yeah, awesome.
So much of it is word of mouth and recommendations. And I bring that up in part to remind everybody out there, you can be an advertiser for our parks and forestry departments. We all know word of mouth goes so far. And encourage people to spread word about these, even when you're out of town and you're in another area or another part of the state or another state, make sure to mention and reference our parks and how beautiful they are over in this area. I do want to take a moment to shout out our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, the gang over there. Appreciate all the work that they do. Encourage you to subscribe to their YouTube page. In part, I bring them up because they're always privy to some of these things that I share with just our guest. So this is just between all of us and everything. But I've never been camping. I've been wanting to do it since I was a kid. I've never had an opportunity to. For people like myself that want to dive into this and want to give camping a try and all that, are there a couple of things that you should know right out the gate? Certainly making your reservation early on.
Yep, so that would be the first thing. You know, for people that are first jumping into camping,
yeah.
You know, there's all different levels of camping, right?
So. Yeah, and I'm asking a real basics version. I didn't mean to throw a big one at you there.
No,
how
no
much
problem.
Time do we have?
But just a few basics, I would say, yes, jump on reservations if there's a certain site. I always advise people that are new to the area, you know, drive through our parks first, right? There, you know, you'll have some waterfront sites. You'll have some that are a little bit more remote.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on what type, you know, what are you looking for?
See, I didn't
for?
Even think of that. Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
even within our three campgrounds, they're very unique, mm-hmm. right? Lake Wasecha or Southwood County Park, a little closer to town, a lot of day users, you know, a lot of walkers going around the lake. And then you have Dexter and Northwood County Park, a lot more remote. You know, just the tree cover, the type of, you know, Northwood County Park, heavy soils, just lush, nonstop growing grass. Southwood County Park, sandy soils. Last year, we didn't mow much, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So just very different look, feel. So I guess my biggest recommendation is go and visit first. See which one you like, and then kind of pursue different options.
It's a great note. I wouldn't have thought of that. That's a really good note about that. And honestly, Chad, this is how good you are. I knew this would tee us up to talk about our campgrounds, and I kind of wanted to wrap up just going into our campgrounds a little bit. You touched on that already, the locations and the differences between these campgrounds. Can you go a little more in depth into that just a little bit to give everybody an idea of where these are and you know, something to look forward to this spring and summer to get out there?
Sure, absolutely. So we'll start on the north part of the county, so Northwood County Park. just north of Pittsville, kind of between Pittsville and Marshfield. So again, one of our original parks. So yeah. Northwood County yeah. Park and Southwood County Park were the first two parks that were yeah. designated in Wood County way back in 1935.
Wow,
so it's been there a while.
Yeah.
So what's neat about that park is there's a lot of buildings, a lot of structures that really are, you know, some of those initial structures yeah. that were in the park.
That's something.
Just really cool stone shelters, mm. stone buildings that you kind of think about when you think about older county and state park
yeah.
Systems. Yeah. But yeah, so Northwood County Park has a campground, approximately 99 sites. Most of those are electric sites. Mm. So we've been updating electric over the years. Most recently, last fall, after a closure, we updated 33 more sites to 50-amp service. So all of those services are 50, 30, and then your standard plug-in. So all three are on the pedestals. So that's kind of nice. Over the years, we've been increasing the size of our camp pads. Mm. Obviously, trying to keep up electrically and size-wise with the bigger sizes units.
Yeah, yeah.
North Park, very unique. It's got a suspension bridge that it's mm. very well known for. Mm. Kind of a neat little bridge that you can walk across and check out the Yellow River that yeah. runs through it.
It's awesome.
So, yeah, cool. yeah.
Very cool.
You had mentioned disc golf, and I know that's another favorite for many people, but that has a beautiful 18-hole disc golf course out yeah. there that actually hosts multiple tournaments out mm-hmm. there annually and things
yeah,
like that.
I've been
that.
To one of those. Yeah, all it's right, real nice right. and beautiful yeah. park. Beautiful yeah. park.
So so that's the first one. Then mm-hmm. traveling south on Highway 80 to 54 is Dexter Lake County Park. Same water body, so it's the Yellow River that feeds Dexter Lake. It's obviously it's a dammed lake mm-hmm. Owned, maintained by Wood County. Purpose of putting that in was for the purpose of creating recreation, a recreational lake. So yeah. That too has a campground approximately 100 site. What's unique about that is there's access via ATV trail mm. and route. So we nice. Actually have a 10 site ATV campsite area. So individuals can ride off the road, get into the campground. They can come in with a trailer, offload, and then start riding, things like that. So portions of that park are open for ATV, UTV riders, which is an increasing activity
yeah.
Throughout yeah. the state here. And then getting closer to town here, the third campground would be Lake Wasecha or Southwood County Park. Again, one of the original yeah. campgrounds and parks. So that is a little smaller, about 77 sites, mm. but again, all of our campgrounds, most of the sites are now electric, the 50 amp. I didn't mention, so Dexter Park does have four full hookup sites. Mm. Those are the only ones in our system currently, so they have electric sewer hookup and water. Yeah. All the other ones just have a dump station. So mm. essentially, when you come in with your trailer, you can fill with fresh water and you can dump before you leave there. So, mm. Yeah.
They're all beautiful. They're all great and all waiting for you. They're all waiting for you and your family or your friends to go and have a good time. We've come up with some great stuff and talked about, there's also other great things. And again, just scratch the surface of what's yeah. available through our parks and our forestry area. Get out in nature, enjoy some nature, everybody, and support our parks and forestry department. Chad, always appreciate the time. We just never have enough of it.
Yeah,
we'll have to bring it back real soon here, sometime during the summer or something like that. I think it'd be fun to catch up and talk about some of the things we have already. If people have follow-up questions, want to know more about what we've talked about today, how can they reach you?
Yeah, so best way is just Google us, right? Go to yes. our website. We have all of the information I talked about, plus a lot more. You also have a link to our reservation system that I talked about. You can also purchase different passes. Right off the website as well. So that's the best way. Or stop in, say hi.
Yeah.
We're located in the River Block building, second floor, or you can give us a call. So
Yeah, and Chad's not kidding. I just type into the search bar Wood County Parks and Forests. Forestry, and before I'm even finished, it pops right up. You can find it real quick. Be sure to reach out to them and for all your needs, and certainly making these reservations early on and everything so that you and your family can get out there and have some fun. Big thank you to you, Chad. Thanks so much for the time.
All right, thank you.
And thank you to our friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media doing such great work. Do yourself a favor. Go onto YouTube, type into your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, and subscribe to that page. Support the work they are doing. We'll take a time out. We'll come back with more Midday Magazine right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
The fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you can catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on locally grown radio, WFHR, 1320 AM, 97.5 FM. Your station for the Milwaukee Bucks. Your hometown radio refreshed.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Officials from the village of Alloway are urging state officials to close the Green Bay State Prison. They came to Madison yesterday to make their case. State Representative David Steffen points out the Green Bay Prison is 126 years old and overcrowded. Local officials say the prison is a danger to the safety of the surrounding community. Cash loans on smartphone apps can land a person even deeper in debt. Lucia Constantine of the Center for Responsible Lending says there are better options.
I would recommend reaching out to their credit union or banking institution to see if they can get some sort of small dollar loan.
A bipartisan bill to curb predatory lending in Wisconsin stalled in the last session of the state legislature. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. It's Every Kid Healthy Week at Aspirus Health. They're promoting the goal of empowering kids for a healthy future. Lindsay Stevenson is an MD and family medicine resident physician with Aspirus Wausau Family Medicine. She said helping kids form healthy habits early on can help prevent or lower the risk of developing diseases and other medical conditions later in life.
Getting a good amount of sleep every night, reduce the amount of sugar intake in their diets, limiting screen time every day to less than 2 hours per day. And then the biggest thing is just being active. Get outside, be physical, and just enjoy being a kid and getting that energy out.
Having regular visits with your primary care provider is also a great way to monitor how a child is growing, and concerns can be addressed right away if they pop up. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. 26 years later, Jerry Seinfeld has mixed feelings about the way his sitcom ended. The 69-year-old comedian does not believe in regret, but told People.com that thinking about it still causes mixed emotions. The show ended with Jerry, Kramer, George, and Elaine all in jail for violating a Good Samaritan law in a small town. Seinfeld says the topic came up when he was talking with fellow Seinfeld creator Larry David about the fact that Seinfeld is never mentioned when people discuss great TV finales. Seinfeld lists Bob Newhart, Mary Tyler Moore, and Mad Men as great finales, adding that he feels Mad Men was the best ever. Co-creator David also says he has some issues with the way the show ended. Seinfeld admits to being influenced by network producers at the time who thought since the characters were selfish on the show that the ending should be consistent with that. The ending might not be perfect, but at least they never jumped a shark. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight to a low around 30. For tomorrow, more sunshine with a few clouds in the afternoon and warmer. Highs to the low 60s. Then rain rolls into the area tomorrow night and Friday, becoming breezy as well. Highs upper 50s. And more showers and storms around for the weekend and cooler. Currently 51 degrees. Dynamite!
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. And a tip today about how to get more entertainment for free. I'm going to tell you about a magical place called the library. Seriously, if you have not been to your public library recently, check it out. They have way more than just books these days. They have a ton of movies that you can borrow, and sometimes you can even stream them. Like when my kiddo was younger, we would borrow from the library instead of rent for our Friday night movie night, and then we had a little bit of money left over that we could use for something special. And if your library has an online app, that can be game-changing. I get to read all the magazines for free that I used to pay for at the grocery store. All of the celebrity gossip, none of the guilt. Okay, some of the guilt. And they've also got audiobooks, which really help me get through doing stuff like laundry or, you know, other chores. For more on how to spend less and save more, head on over to workmoney.org. Take good care.
Crude and Dom.
Dom and Crude, and you make it the greatest radio show ever. Dom returns to the airwaves Wednesday. No court for Trump, but plenty of politics. Tune in.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this April 24th, 2024. I have your host, James, here, and I'm joined right now by some good friends of ours. We have Ann Liepak with us, Director of Public Relations and Fund Development. Ann, always good to see you.
Good to see you. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for being here. And we have Chris Goetz, is it?
Gage
with us, mental health coordinator with the ODC. And we're talking about the ODC today and some other fun events that are coming up over at the ODC. But if y'all don't mind, first off, I want to note the great team that you guys have over there and a credit to them and thank them for all the good work that they do in this community. One of my favorite nonprofits ever is going to be the ODC, and I appreciate the work that you guys do so very much over there. We're going to take some time today to talk with Chris a little bit about mental health. And it's a big topic with a lot of different layers to it, Chris. So go. No. When it comes to this one, I bring all that up because I think that as we're getting more and more into the mental health conversation these days, for one, we've come so far with it where look at what we're doing. Now, we're not talking about this in a hushed voice. We're not talking about this with on a side corner with a friend and hoping nobody hears us or anything. We've gotten to a great place in society with this subject. But now I feel like this is where the really heavy lifting comes in. Now, all of a sudden, we have to put action to words. We have to do maybe the hardest thing on this subject, look inward in how we ourselves are dealing with our own mental health and what help we might need or what have you. And the other end of that, others. And truly being there for others. With this topic, it's already a big one. And then you bring in the ODC and the clientele that they have. So, Chris, for you, what is one of the biggest things that you would like to come out of this interview with, letting people know about mental health, about the ODC?
Well, I think an important thing to take in mind with especially Mental Health Awareness Month is that mental health is health. We all experience it, just like you alluded to. And I think that that's an important message to get out. And what goes with that is advocacy as well. We all have to be able to speak up for ourselves. And some of the individuals that we serve spend most of their life being told what to think, what to do, how to do it, and that sort of thing. And that's what the ODC really excels at, is building skills, building personalities, helping people be their authentic selves. And I think that's something that's very important to me, and I think that should be a highlight for Mental Health Awareness Month. And a nationwide organization, SAMHSA, Substance Abuse and Mental Health, they cover a lot of ground, and that's kind of how they have their Mental Health Awareness Month structured, is that they take each week and they kind of highlight different age categories. And on their website, they have a lot of great resources for all those categories and ways to help support people. So,
one of the things the ODC does that is above and beyond, I feel, is the advocacy and the fighting for your clients and the working for your clients and going above and beyond for them. We're touching on this in our pregame a little bit, that we wanted to mention a bill that was recently brought up.
I think something that I was really excited about, especially for some of the people that I support in the community, is the ABLE accounts bill that was just recently signed. That is a resource that people can look into. And as I understand it, it's anyone who qualifies for SSDI or SSI, as long as the diagnosis was before age 26, they can look into these accounts. And it's built along the same model as 529 accounts, so education investment accounts. And there's just a huge, broad range of things that that can be used for. And as far as I understand it, there's a very large amount of money that can be put into that each year. And what's more is that these investment accounts, they don't count against the calculation and formulation of the individual's benefits, which is really excellent, because you're looking at a population that may be restricted to living their life on no more than $2,000 a month or $2,000 on hand at any given time. And so an account like this, for some of the people in our lives that we support, care for, people in our personal lives, this could help them obtain housing. They could own houses, you know, which is something that a lot of individuals that I've worked with, it's inconceivable to them.
It's an incredible one. We talked about this last week with Senator Teston. We're going to be bringing it up more and more and talking about not just this, but other bills like
getting
the word out there. It's an important one. And especially with home ownership being what it is and some of those other factors that you mentioned there. You know, one of the other things that comes up with mental health, and I was just talking about this with my dad over the weekend, is our older population. So much of this, a lot of the diagnoses that go on these days it really started when I was in high school, a lot of them with HDAD and some of these other things that we had not heard the terminology of a lot, and it became into the lexicon of all of ours, and we learned more and more about these. And there is certainly Asperger's, where there is that spectrum and some of that. And then there's other levels of mental health, certainly. There's a lot of layers to this. But one of the things that I think about a lot, and I was talking with my dad about, is our relatives, our older relatives. And, you know, these things did not just because we just started to diagnose them doesn't mean that this is the first time that they've been around in human history.
Yeah, I have a great anecdote for that, and something that I love to compare this to. When you're talking about diagnoses and anything in general, a lot of people make the comment, oh, it's all over the place. There's so much mental health now. Everybody's getting worse. It's increasing. All this is happening. That's kind of a red herring, if you want to think of it that way. For example, if you look at left-handedness, a short time ago, I want to say even like pre-1970s, there were individuals that were prevented from writing with their left hand. Kids would have their hands tied behind their back during writing lessons.
Thanks, Grandpa. And before, I love my grandpa, but he did that to me. I was born left-handed, said I had to write right.
So before that, you had maybe a fraction of 1% of left-handers for the best data that we could get around that time frame. After we stopped doing that, but lo and behold, I think the number now is like in the 12 to 15% of people are left-handed. So when we reduce stigma, when we make it okay for different presentations to be part of the social fabric that we have, what do you know? There's a lot of these people around. There's a lot more of this going on. And it's a really multifaceted issue, but the elder generations are a group that it's very important for resources to be built up to support their mental health as well, because there's just a lot of baggage for things that they went through, you know, in their lifetime. Our understanding of humans and our brains and how all of that stuff plays, so much has changed.
So much. We just weren't able to diagnose so many. We didn't know what to look for so much back in the day. And so many of those individuals have gone decades without any care, without any even thought of this. And so many of them are walking around right now that might have some of these things that they don't even know. It's why having an older adult support group like the ODC has is so important. And I wanted to touch on this a little bit, too, with you, Chris.
Yeah, as I understand, that's a that's a group that is going to be
ADRC
held at the ADRC.
Yeah.
Yes. In Stevens Point.
I'm a big fan of both organizations. I do that sometimes.
Yeah.
I apologize.
No, perfect. that would be a group where they meet for peer support. They have psychoeducation, which is not as scary as it sounds. It's just a matter of kind of learning some of these things.
Yeah.
And for an age group, as we had said before, just it wasn't even brought into the equation. When you look at older adults that may have, you know, they may be going through loss, you know, especially at the, you know, as you age and get older, you start to lose friends, family, what's more, with the care system that we have, you may be in an environment where you don't get a lot of interaction, where you don't get a lot of support on a day-to-day basis, and it can be very isolating. And so anything like this to bring people together and support one another, I think is a phenomenal resource. And I'm glad that you brought that up. Yeah, the ADRC, I believe they meet every third Wednesday. And I think that's it. The flyer says 10 a.m.
10 to 11, yeah.
So 10 to 11. The Stevens Point ADRC,
mm-hmm.
The Lincoln Center.
You can find out more giving them a call, 715-346-1401, 346-1401. We certainly will be bringing this up and covering it as we go along on our morning shows and such. And Chris, I also wanted to mention that the ODC has a great event coming up in May as well as part of Mental Health Awareness Month. There's a Mental Health Matters Together We Thrive, this event coming up as well.
This is hosted by NAMI for Portage and Wood Counties. It's also put on by Prevent Suicide Portage County and Portage County Health and Human Services. This is a pretty large event. It's going to be on May 15th. That's a Wednesday, 4:30 to 8 p.m. They have a lot of different things. There's some lived experience panels so you can hear what it's like for people who are living with persistent mental health issues. There's free food as supplies last. Resource fairs, so there will be different community organizations that'll have things set up. I'm sure lots of free swag, everybody likes that. So make sure you come down and just kind of experience some of the things that are out there to help everybody support their mental health this coming month.
Nicely done, Chris. I didn't expect you to do that, man. I wasn't trying to put you on the spot. I'm glad you love your job because I don't want you taking mine, man. All right, you're good at this. I don't need you doing that. I need this gig.
Hey, you're dealing with a one-time radio speaking forensics person. So, you know, yeah, I came to play.
Chris, when it comes to this subject, as we're kind of wrapping up our part of the conversation here, what are ways that we as a community can help you do your job, help those in the ODC, help our community that are struggling and dealing with these things? How can we be more supportive as a community?
I think having conversations like this, trying to have just a humility with regards to this, because however strange or foreign that these concepts might sound, they're people's lived experience. This is what people are going through. And in a lot of ways, we just have to understand that, you know, we may not understand fully what people are going through, but the important part is to be there for them, help them as needed, you know, talk to your elected officials, you know, talk to schools, listen to schools if you need to.
Yeah.
Just do your best to educate yourself on what's out there. There's a lot of resources. And I think that it's really important to share all of these things and just understand that things are always changing.
Mm-hmm.
One small thing, you mentioned ADHD. There's a huge cohort of people being diagnosed with ADHD. I'm 36, I think. Yeah, 36. People in my age category, when ADHD was being diagnosed very frequently, you generally got diagnosed if you were bouncing off the walls.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole group of adults that are finding out that they have ADHD. It's just got a different presentation.
Yeah.
You know, there's combined type, inattentive, in addition to the hyperactive. So as these things change, it's not that things are getting worse necessarily. It's not that things are, the goalpost is being moved. We're enhancing our understanding through the work we're doing in the community with the people we support and the people that research this stuff. And it's important that we continue moving in that direction because we're helping a ton of people.
If I could piggyback off that for a second, too, I think of this subject a little bit metaphorically. Sort of like the internet and our phones and tablets and everything. When this first started to become very popular and almost everybody had one in their hand, the big fear was, oh, that younger generation, they're never going to take their faces out of their phones. They're never going to take their faces out of tablets. We got to get on that and everything. And I work with a lot of the younger generation. I talk with a lot of that. And I have not seen that. What I've seen is my generation, I should say. I'm 47, and my generation seems to have a problem with tech and not being able to put the phone down and be driving and having it in their hand and a lot of these things, because we didn't grow up with this, and we're getting used to it. We're learning as we're going here. The younger generations, they've had computers in front of them for their whole lives. They're a little bit more adapted to this. Have that grace, that same grace that you have with your, hopefully with yourself and with others of your generation when it comes to this subject. Because while there are a lot of kids growing up where mental health is talked about and their understanding of it and everything, there are so many generations out there that are just now getting to this front and just now starting to be able to look into their own brain and their own mental health. And every human being on the planet deserves to feel comfortable in their own skin, to feel good about their day and feel good about themselves. This is how we get there, by being more open about this and by being more caring as a society, giving each other more grace.
Yeah, and I think that one thing that you mentioned there and what I kind of got from that is, and a potential answer to it, is mindfulness as a concept.
Yeah.
Being present with the people around you and yourself, you know, just really, and that is a huge thing that is being pushed right now. And we're trying to get that out there, that it's important to do those check-ins with yourself, be aware. Do I have time to set this aside right now? How important is this thing that I'm doing right now? What else could I be doing with my time? And so that's where a really great segue into something coming up very soon is the Be Kind to Your Mind event. That's going on in.
He's too good at this. He's too good. I think he's going to take my job.
I don't have to show up anymore.
No, you're so right. Let's talk about this great upcoming Kind to Your Mind event.
Yeah, we're going to be there. I will be there. There's going to be food trucks. There's going to be lots of different events going on, or different presenters, different booths. And it's just going to be a great opportunity to kick off Mental Health Awareness Month by presenting what's out there for people, different resources, different ways to access them, and just ways to take care of yourself.
And this event is going to be taking place over at Steel King. Be Kind to Your Mind event. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was I was going to segue into you. No, but that's not good. You're not. You know, he was going to talk about it. I did a horrible job there.
You did.
See,
terrible.
He's so much better at this.
You're done.
He's better at this, and I'm telling you, the Be Kind to Your Mind event is happening Sunday, May 5th, 11 to 2, over at Steel King. This is hosted by Junior's Women's Club. It's going to have food trucks, all kinds of other great stuff to it too, Chris. And you're going to be there. Are you going to try to be there?
I'll be there. ODC is going to be there. I'll be there at the table. So, yeah, come say hi.
It's going to be a good event. We'll talk more about this and lead people or send people there. We're excited about these kind of events. Got a lot of great events coming up. Now I'll talk to you. Now I'll put you on the spot because I wanted to talk about the open house. I got this great open house coming up, actually going on today.
So we've got our spring open house happening at Milkweed Market starting today through Saturday. We will be open this Saturday. Our hours are 10 to 3. There's going to be 20% off some of our home decor items. And we also started a new partnership with the Cookie Jar, who's going to now be providing some fresh baked goods each week. They've got some real nice flour sugar cookies today and a salted caramel chocolate cupcake, I think. They looked delicious. You know, come on in and see what's happening over at Milkweed Market. We'd love to have you. Also wanted to just share, of course, we have our Painting with Purpose tomorrow, but it sounds like the class is full. But what I wanted to share and I want people to be watching for is that we will be having a summer series, and it's going to be held in a park. And so there will be room for additional people to join us. So be sure you're following our events on our Milkweed Market page so that you can join us over the summer. And be a great activity for some kids. It's a free event open to the public. So I'd love to see more people coming.
One of your more popular events, the Painting with Purpose. A lot of people like this event. It's a really smart idea to expand that and getting outside a little bit. I love that idea.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and we've been filling up regularly now, and so we want to have some opportunities for some more people to join us. And you know, summer, the kids will be out of school and enjoy some weather and you know, make it a larger event. So, yeah.
You also have your second, I believe, annual cash raffle going on.
Yeah. So our cash calendar raffle is happening again this year in the month of June. So we have $3,300 in cash prizes to give away. We actually just started selling tickets yesterday. Mm. So if anybody's interested, they can reach out to our main office here at ODC in Wisconsin Rapids. Our tickets are selling for one for 10, three for 20. And it's always a great event. And all the drawings are held on Facebook Live at 11 o'clock. And yeah, I think it's going to be another great month of cash calendar. Who doesn't love a little cash, right?
Oh, yeah. And this area loves raffles. Yeah. Like, if you're having an event out there and you're planning an event, make sure to have a raffle involved with it, because it just increases the popularity of it so much. They're fun. They're a lot of fun. It's fun to have for the workers over there to be able to be involved a little bit and have giving these away. It always feels good giving stuff away, especially money.
Yeah.
That's always a great feeling. And this is another way we get to support the ODC. We get to show you guys that we have your back, that we believe in what you're doing over there. Just by buying a simple ticket from a raffle, you are showing that you believe in the ODC, doing these kind of things. And keep that in mind when we're talking about Ink Splash or Milkweed Market or any of these events. Whether you're spreading the word about them or you're about purchasing things there, you are investing in your community. This is an investment.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. Yep, so we're super excited and... you know, we sold some tickets to people in Minneapolis and Door County last year that were winners. The other cool thing is your ticket always goes back in. So even if you win, your ticket goes in for the entire month. So
and you know, we record this. You don't have to. Are you sure about that? Do you want to put it back in there?
Absolutely.
Really? Okay. All right.
Absolutely.
If you're sure. That's really cool. That's actually very cool.
Yeah,
really
It was a real good mix. And you know, it wouldn't be possible. You know, you talk about the support of ODC. All of the cash that is given away is donated to us by supporters of ODC, and so it really is. A great opportunity. Those businesses are so supportive. They're listed on our calendar so that you can see what businesses are supporting ODC so that you can also support them as well. And then by selling the tickets, I mean, that's really where the fundraising comes in. And last year we raised over $25,000 in our cash calendar raffle. Yeah. So it really is a good event for us.
It goes a long way.
Yeah.
As we're wrapping up the last minutes we have here, did want to mention that you guys are going to be at a Red Cross Blood Drive coming up as well.
We have a Red Cross Blood Drive coming up May 9th from 10 to 3 at ODC in Wisconsin Rapids. If you're interested in donating blood, you can go to redcrossblood.org and enter the name ODC, and that will come up for you as well. And then just also a reminder, on May 15th from 4 to 8 p.m., there's a Taco John's benefit night. So if you're out and about and you 20% of the proceeds that night will also be donated to ODC. Mm-hmm. So, and then Chris and I are also looking forward to our very exciting Four Hope Golf benefit, which is May 31st. That is completely sold out, but it's going to be the final wrap-up of Mental Health Awareness Month, and all of those proceeds go to support our mental health programs and clinics. So,
and keep in mind, everybody, that May is Mental Health Awareness Month. Be the good, do some good out there, and be good to yourselves. Thank you both so much for the time, for everything you guys do in this community. Really appreciate you. Chris, if people have follow-up questions, they want to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Oh, geez.
Should I send him to the website?
Yeah. Probably reaching out to
OTC's sure. ODCINC.com is the website. Be sure to bookmark that, ODCINC.com. Anna, how about you, Anna? Same thing?
Send him to the website, or you can always call the main office at 715-424-2712. That's 715-424-2712. And our great front office staff will get you connected with who you need to speak to.
Appreciate y'all. Thank you so much. We'll talk again real soon.
Sounds great. Thanks. Awesome.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, home for the Devil's Advocates.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, all things sports with the Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan, weather and wine with Brittany Merlot, and Brewers tickets. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Todd Alba Show.
Luke, I'm just going to say it again. The real problem here was that goofy in-season soccer tournament that they had. That threw everything
That's
off.
What are you talking about? That was December basketball. You just couldn't figure out the rules.
You're exactly
Todd.
Right. There are goofy rules I couldn't figure out. I don't like them.
You would not do well with driving on the left-hand side of the road.
Oh, absolutely not.
You would just start freaking out.
Yeah.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. House Speaker Mike Johnson's in New York condemning what he calls anti-Semitic pro-Palestinian protests at Columbia University.
I am here today joining my colleagues and calling on President Shafiq to resign if she cannot immediately...